Blog Talk Radio.
Do not be afraid. The power of the Holy Spirit is with you. Is with you. Amen.
Come now, let us reason together. Question everything. Welcome to Sacerdotus Radio, a show on God, faith, the Catholic Church, science, philosophy, reason and otherworldly issues. Join the host as he tackles today's errors and refutes the fallacies of atheism and misconceptions on God, the Catholic Church, and science. And now here is your host, Sacerdotus.
Hello, welcome to Sacerdotus Radio. On today's show, I'm going to speak on this new social media trend that's going on called the Kylie Jenner Challenge. Just when you think you have seen every stupid thing out there, something new comes along. So this new challenge called the Kylie Jenner Challenge is going around trending on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and God knows what other site out there. I must be honest, out of curiosity, I clicked it to see what the buzz was about. What was the whole thing? Why was this trending? Who the heck is Kylie Jenner? Etc. etc. I never heard of this Kylie Jenner and thought it was something to raise money, like that ice bucket challenge thing that was going on around last year. Well, after clicking the hashtag, I found myself viewing selfies of people with bloated lips. Apparently, this Jenner character is known for her pouty lips. Someone on the internet decided to start some stupid thing of using shot glasses or bottles to make the lips swell. They insert their lips into these objects and create a suction so strong that it causes trauma to the lips and swells them up. So here we have these people, mostly young people, videotaping themselves or photographing themselves. After a while, if they're videotaping, putting their lips in shot glasses or bottles and creating a suction on them so that the suction makes the lips swell outward, in a sense making them pouty or plump or whatever word you want to use it. Now doctors are advising against this, as it does cause damage to the lips. Duh. The pressure causes bruising, tissue scarring, and possibly cuts that need stitches. The pouty effect only lasts about a week. And remember the damage that it's causing to your lips. This challenge is being taken mostly by teenage girls, but some boys have been joining in on the stupidity as well. No surprise there. Now, why do people do these stupid things or imitate other people? Well, there's a psychological, scientific reason for that, and it's called vicarious learning. This type of learning is also called observational learning. Human beings learn via many means. One of those means is by mirroring the behavior that they have experienced. So we tend to imitate things that we see, that we experience. And you see this in newborns. Not those that are exactly out of the womb then, but at least a month old or so. When you smile at them, they smile back at you. And this is not because they're happy to see you. It's because they're mirroring your facial expression. That's how the baby learns. And then it begins to associate, okay, a smile means something good. Have you ever wondered why sometimes you may start to sound or say things like your friend or a relative or whoever, someone that you look up to or you hang out with and whatnot? This is vicarious learning. And many times it happens on a unconscious level. It is part of how human beings learn to adapt to their environment. Psychologist Albert Bandura provided evidence of this learning ability via his famous Bobo doll experiment. In this experiment, adults were told to beat the heck out of a doll while children watched in the room. The children were then left alone with the doll, and within a few minutes, they too began to beat the heck out of the doll. And this is because they saw the adults doing this. And as children, and as when we were children ourselves, we were conditioned to see the adult and the parent figure and the teacher figure as being authoritative, someone that we had to look up to, literally. So when the children sees this with that conditioning, sees an adult beating another doll, they figured, well, the adult is doing this, so it must be something that we should do too, something that we should imitate. So these kids started to beat up the doll. Now, I'm sure my CUNY psychology professor out there, Vincent, is probably using this in his class now as a discussion starter, if I know him well. So this is the scientific psychological reason why we see these people imitating this behavior. One of them starts it, and then somebody sees it and they say, oh wait, let's do it, it looks cool. And they begin to circulate, it begins to circulate around the internet. And clearly, logic, reason, common sense goes out the window, because this causes damage to your lips, it hurts your lips. There's no reason to do this, but this is part of the psychology of human beings. We tend to learn things via mirroring other behavior, things that we experience, that we see in the natural world as we develop and mature and whatnot. So it is no wonder why the people taking this challenge with the lips are children and young people. Children and young people are extremely impressionable, and like I said, are taught from an early age to look up to authority figures. Since in today's world, unfortunately, celebrities have this authoritative presence via their popularity, abilities, talent, money, etc. Well, because of this, unfortunately, they are often imitated by people, especially young people. So we see a hip-hop artist, a rapper, walking around with his pants hanging out below his behind. Lo and behold, we see young kids doing the same thing, walking around with their pants hanging down, showing the whole world their cheeks. We see another hip-hop artist wear different color wigs. Lo and behold, we see young people, young girls, going around with different color wigs, because they see these celebrities as someone that's important, an authority figure. Years ago, when the rocker, heavy metal rocker Marilyn Manson, Brian Warner, which is his real name, he did his concerts. I don't know if he's still doing anything today, but back in the day, he would go around wearing different color eye contacts, and with the hair long, sometimes different colors, pale face, dark black, gothic looking clothes, and whatnot. Lo and behold, we see a collection of young people doing the same thing, especially with the two young men who shot up people in the Columbine. They were dressed in a similar fashion and were fans of this heavy metal performer. So young people, for the most part, are susceptible to this type of behavior. They, not to say that adults don't do it, adults do it as well, but for the most part, young people are more susceptible because of their age. They're still developing psychologically. And in today's world where a lot of families are broken, we only have one parent. Sometimes there's two parents. The parents are working, so the children don't even see. The family's not even together as much. So the ones who are starting to raise the children of today and of recent years is are celebrities, the media. Those are the people that are raising our children today. And my generation and the generation that came shortly before me, before my generation. And this is a big problem that we have to really face, that we really have to think about, because it's bringing down society. And this is why we are seeing the breakdown of the moral fabric of society. People today are clueless. They really don't care. They don't know right from wrong anymore. Even to the point where they don't care that they're harming themselves. They see somebody trying to make their lips big because, according to them, having large lips is attractive, sexy, whatever. And mind you, the whole thing of having your mouth bruised up, your lips go explode or crack in half or not. Mind you, none of that is important. The most important thing is looking good. Reason, intelligence, consciousness, appreciation for one's body, concern for one's body and health is just thrown out the window, metaphorically speaking. And if we do not wake up to this fact and take control of what our young people are looking at and reading and listening to, we're going to continue seeing these crazy things, these trends, these fads of stupidity that are dangerous and just something that shouldn't be circulating all over the place and affecting so many people. Shortly before this trend, this fad, or whatever you want to call it, there was a young, I believe a college level girl, lady, who was taking bologna and slurping it. And she posted the video on YouTube, I believe, and lo and behold, people started imitating it. And a couple of them almost killed themselves. They choked, almost went into a coma. Because when you slurp bologna, yes, it may be food and it gets digested, but you need to chew it first. And what happens when you do not chew food, when you try to swallow food whole? You choke. So you're slurping on a bologna, a slice of bologna. What do you think is going to happen to you? You're going to choke. It's going to get stuck in the back of your throat. And it's going to be difficult to remove. And if there's nobody around to help you with the Heimlich maneuver or whatnot, then you're a goner. Because eventually, within minutes, you're going to lose consciousness. You're going to black out. So you can't call 911. And even if you could call 911, you will not have the time to answer the long questions that the operator typically poses. Where are you? What's going on? I'm sure you have seen or experienced yourself how lengthy 911 calls can be and how fastidious the operator can be when you have an emergency and they are just asking you all these different questions, as if you have time to be interviewed, so to speak. So, again, we parents, adults, clergy, teachers, they have to do more to get students, young people to think for themselves, yes, but to instill in them morals, right judgment, and concern for themselves, their well-being, and to be sociable, yes, but not to the point where you imitate everything everybody does. I mean, imitation is okay to a certain extent. Parody and all those things, yes. It's fun. We have fun with those things. But if your friend starts smoking marijuana or cigarettes or something that's dangerous, that doesn't mean that you should imitate it or imitate him or her because he or she's doing it and just because he or she's your friend. The young person needs to have a well-grounded conscience and right judgment to know, to distinguish that this behavior is bad, I'm not going to do it. And even go the extra mile and tell the friend, listen, what you're doing is dangerous. You need to stop. You need to cut it out. because you could hurt yourself, you could get killed, you could get arrested. It's not worth it. Your life, what you could become in the future, is not worth losing over this stupid fad or vice that's out there. And, you know, in light of this whole thing, parents again must instill in their children these strong values and an appreciation for themselves. Now, whoever started this challenge clearly has self-esteem issues, man. The reason why I say this is because obviously this person thinks that having these fish lips is attractive or sexy. And this is just not true. To quote from a phrase often used by religious African-American women, y'all need Jesus. And how true are those words? The youth today need Jesus. Only Jesus can restore the image of God in these people who are damaging their lips just to imitate someone they look up to. Because Jesus reminds the human being why he or she was created. He or she was created to be a son of God, the image of God, to live in happiness and joy. Not to be an idiot imitating other people, a zombie, a walker, if you watch The Walking Dead, just walking around and doing everything everybody else does, like a pack of zombies just following a sound that they heard in a distance and just walking to it, not thinking of what's going on or if they're going to stumble along the way or if that sound is danger. Jesus teaches the opposite, that we are the image of God, that we have to not only love God and worship God, but take care of each other, love each other, forgive each other. Jesus restores the human being what the human being is supposed to be. Because what we think the human being is supposed to be is just disastrous. And we see it in today's world. I'm not making this up to you. Some atheists out there claim that religion harms, that religion is evil and whatnot, but centuries ago, you would never see these types of things. People behaved. Now, granted, there was crime, of course. There will always be crime because there's actual sin. There's concupiscence that drives us to find evil and sin attractive. That desire to do these things is concupiscence. So all that will always be done to the end of time. But that doesn't mean that we have to give in to them. We have to resort to the sacraments, to lead a sacramental life, to remain in the state of grace, because that grace builds upon us and fixes the damage caused by the sins that we committed, and the sin of original sin, which damaged our nature and has us like wild animals, so to speak, doing all kinds of crazy things. And I'm thinking of the God that we're hurting, our Father in heaven, and our brothers and sisters around us that we're hurting and offending. So we really need to focus on Christ. And clergy out there, you really need to speak. Youth groups are very important. I cannot stress the need for youth groups to be in every parish. There has to be youth groups. And not just youth groups, but good youth groups. I don't mean gathering young people and just giving them a ball to play basketball. You need to get them together. Talk about religion. Talk about the sacred scriptures. Talk about morality. Have them question. That's very important. Don't just teach them or preach to them. Have them talk to you. See where they're at. See where they're at in life. And then you can work from there. Because I cannot stress enough that you need to let these young people speak. You need to let them question. So you know what's going on in their lives, in their minds. And you could address what's going on. Instead of using a cookie cutter blanket form of teaching or ministry, hoping that it will fit everybody's needs and situation, it's not going to work. It's going to fail. You need to let the young people speak and let you know what's going on in their lives. and post questions. And if you're a youth minister, most likely you probably will not have a PhD in theology or whatnot. And if you do not know the question, then that's okay. You just get back to them. I mean, sometimes I get asked questions that I may have forgotten the answer to, or maybe I don't have a complete answer. And I say, well, before I answer it, let me do some research and make sure I give you the right information, because there's so much stuff going on in my brain that we forget things. Sometimes it gets stored away. Sometimes it gets pruned away by the neurons, and you forget. So it's okay if you do not know the answer. You just go and research and whatnot, and then you get back to the young person, either via communication, email, Facebook, whatever it is that you use, or in the next meeting. But youth ministry is very important in order to prevent these types of fads and situations that we see going around on the internet. That's dangerous. And I applaud this lady, Kylie Jenner, who's apparently a celebrity related to the Kardashians, I believe. I really do not know, because I don't keep up with that stuff. Unless it's baseball, I really do not keep up with it. Baseball, science, philosophy, religion, psychology, things like that is what I keep up with. Academia, that's what I keep up with. But as far as the popular culture, music, and celebrities, I really do not have much of a clue unless I hear about it or somebody brings it up, or I read about it on when I turn on the computer and it's there on the news feed. That's when I learn about it. But for the most part, this lady, she spoke out. She sent out two tweets where she wrote, "I want to encourage people, or rather, I'm not here to try and encourage people, young girls, to look like me or to think this is the way they should look. I want to encourage people, young girls, like me, to be yourself and not be afraid to experiment with your look." So I'm glad that she spoke out saying that, you know, you people need to stop it. You don't need to look like me. You have to be yourself. You have to be happy in the skin that you are. And that's a whole other topic that we could get into. The self-esteem issue, the problems of how people view themselves, especially the young people in today's age, where there's so many pressures out there for people to look a certain way. And from childhood, we are instilled with these images of how we're supposed to look like. Even when we go to apply for a job, we're told that we have to go dress to impress. And forget about your talents. Forget about what you could do. You need to dress to impress. Like if wearing a business suit or brushing your hair or combing your hair a certain way means that you're going to do a better job. I mean, you try to find the logic in that. But that's part of the human being. The human being is a prejudicial creature. We love to discriminate because this is how we evolved. In order to survive, to distinguish between a roach and a spider that can bite and kill us, we needed to learn how to distinguish. In order to learn between good fruit and poisoned fruit that could kill us, poison us, we had to learn how to distinguish. In order to distinguish between someone that's sick, who we may have children with, that may have deformities, and those that do not have deformities, that we may have healthy children, because that doesn't mean that we're not going to have children with deformities and whatnot just because the person is healthy. But you get the point that evolution works that way via discrimination, which allows us to work with our surroundings in nature. And unfortunately, not too many of us have broken that cycle, that primitive animal instinct of being discriminatory. We tend to judge people based on how they look, their representative heuristics, which I bring up a lot. We try to fit people on a cookie platter, or rather cookie cutter, and think that everyone is supposed to be that way. And if they don't match that cookie cutter mold, then they are bad. They disagree with our heuristics. So we have to discriminate. And we need to really break from that habit And I think that's where Christianity comes in and breaks that bad habit of discriminating to the point where we avoid certain people, we think bad of people without even knowing them. That has to stop. And to the point that we think that a certain look is good and a certain look is bad. People should be judged based on what they could do, their abilities, their talent. Not if they could dress to impress or whatnot. It should be work to impress. That's the correct term, in my opinion. Work to impress. Show me that you could do the job, and I'll hire you. Not come to my office and, okay, you look cute, you look sexy, you look handsome, you look professional. Therefore, I'm going to hire you or give you more consideration in hiring you. It should not be that way. But unfortunately, it is, and we see the young people today trying to adhere to these different social scripts of bodily image, and which in philosophy they call it the biologic, and the name of the philosopher escapes me, but that's the term that's used in philosophy, the biologic, the need to define the body in certain parameters as being norm, as being what's acceptable in a specific culture or society, that needs to be thrown away. And Christianity, I believe, is the answer to that, because we were taught that we are all made in the image and likeness of God, and we are called to love one another as ourselves. So if we do not love ourselves, then we cannot love anybody else. We cannot love our neighbors, our brothers and sisters out there in the world. So this system makes more sense, and I believe it's healthy to adopt and get rid of that primitive evolutionary system of discriminating, being prejudiced against people, or adopting this view that we have to look or act or be a certain way in order to be accepted in the workplace, in society, etc., etc. So those of you listening out there, I hope that you spread the word that this whole lip suction thing, Kylie Jenner challenge, needs to stop. It's dangerous. You could really hurt yourself. It's not worth it. Be proud of who you are, the skin that you're in. The way you look is the way God intended for you to look, and God does not make mistakes. You are a work of art. There's no need for you to try to change yourself or try to imitate somebody else or try to fit how that person looks. You are fine the way you are. Thank you for listening. God bless and Merry Keep. And remember to join me in the next show and follow me on Twitter, Sacerdotus, and Sacerdotus Radio, two accounts. And my blog, sacerdotus.com, CatholicFaithSharing.blogspot.com, RationallyFaithful.blogspot.com, and the WordPress.com as well. And also you could join me on the Sacerdotus Hangouts on YouTube. And that's Sacerdotus with a V at the end, VS. Again, thank you for listening.